Thank you, Meredith. I've enjoyed the singing today, the congregational as well as the special singing. It's been a blessing. Well, we're going to continue in our study of these Ten Commandments. Today we're going to pick up commandment number 9. Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. So what's that mean, preacher? It means stop lying. Basically. So you shouldn't have to preach, stop lying to a Baptist church. We're a Bible-believing Baptist church. Yeah. Church is made up of sinners saved by grace. And we still have this old fallen Adamic nature in us. And we still yield in areas that we need to get victory over. And so I'm just going to, there's no way, when I started into these Ten Commandments, I got to tell you, I uncovered a lot of things. God revealed a lot of things, in particular in this particular commandment about bearing false witness. There's no way I'm going to be able in the 2 hours that I have this morning to, just making sure you're awake. There's no way that I'm going to be able to, in the time allotted me this morning, to really bring all that God says about lying. I don't know that God wants me to exhaust the matter. I just believe God wants me to expound the matter in a way that would whet our appetites to think more about it, about our speech, what we say. I'd be less than honest if I didn't say that going through all of these commandments, God has convicted me in every area. But I think the thing that's really convicted me the most, certainly I want to live these commandments, not so I can go to heaven. I want to live these commandments because God said so, but I want to live them to be an example of the believer, and I want to teach them to my children and to my grandchildren. And I've tried to make that very clear as we've gone through these. These commandments were given for the people of the children of Israel to follow because they were going to a land where they were lost people, the Canaanites. They were going to Canaan's land. And God said, I want to give you these commandments so you can bear this witness among those that do not know me. And I want you to represent me well. And so he gave these Ten Commandments. And then he said, after you get them in your heart, and you do them, I want you to teach them to your sons in chapter 6 and to your sons' sons. Look in chapter 6 just for a moment in the latter part of verse number 2. He said that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all the statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. So he said, I want you to keep the commandments. Again, it's not to keep the commandments so we can be righteous in God's sight, but when we are made righteous through the new birth, God wants us to keep his commandments. And God wants us to keep these. There are some negatives, what not to do. God said, don't harm yourself, right? Don't harm yourself. And then there's some positives. He said, help yourself. Help yourself out a little. Do what I say do. These are guardrails to keep you from making, I mean, monumental mistakes, to keep you out of trouble, to keep you out of trouble with man and with God. That's right. And God says, so I'm laying these out for you. And for every negative, there's a positive. Every one of them. Every one of them. For every positive, there's a negative. When God says, don't do it, he said, not only don't do this, but do this. In other words, don't make any graven images. Don't you bow down to them. You bow down to me. Don't you worship images, things made with hands. You worship God. That's what he's saying. And he said, don't you use the Lord thy God's name in vain. Use it in victory. Use it, but use it right. These are the commandments. Don't you, we talked about last week, don't you steal. He said, but let him that stole what? Steal no more. But rather labor, working with his hands. In other words, go to work, right? You want something, work for it. Don't take something from somebody else in case they give it to you. And that's where the generosity comes in. Now, what are we going to do with this? If you'll look down in verse number 20 of chapter number 5 of Deuteronomy, this is the second giving of these commandments. This is the that's what Deuteronomy is. It's the second giving of the law. In Exodus 20, we have the first, when Moses was on the Mount Sinai. We know that story. We know that account in the scripture. And so I want to talk to you about bearing false witness. Now, we're going to talk about several things, but we're going to try to headline them under three things, all right? So we're going to talk about the false witness, or the one who is the false witness. Why do we bear false witness? The devil is a liar and the father of lies. And he is the originator of the false witness. And when we are bearing false witness, we are being like him. And God said, I don't want you to be like him. You're not of your father, the devil, any longer. You're of your father in heaven. If you're saved, amen. And so tell the truth. And that's what Jesus is. He's the truth. He's the faithful witness. And so he said, don't be the false witness. Be the faithful witness. Don't live the lie. Don't tell the lie. Live the truth. Tell the truth. Isn't that what he's saying, brethren? That's what the Word of God is saying. And so he said, I want to warn you now. And I want to help you. God said, I want to help you to where your life would not have to have a lot of unnecessary pain or cause unnecessary pain. Now listen, the heartache and the trouble that's been caused by bearing false witness. The people that have been hurt. The churches that have been split. The individuals that have been marred. The testimonies that have been lost because of false witness. It's a terrible thing. And God doesn't take lightly to it. Now, some folks kind of snicker and laugh a little bit and say, well, you know, it's just a little white lie. God looks at that as just a dirty lie that he's going to judge when you stand before him one day. And so don't take it the way man takes it. Sometimes man doesn't take God's word seriously, and we can get cavalier in our own right if we're not careful, and we'll begin to take lightly the things that God takes seriously. I want to love the things that God loves, and I want to hate the things that God hates, don't you? I believe you do. And so let's look at this just for a moment, okay? Now, I'm going to ask you to turn to some scripture, and I'm going to do that because I want you to see what the scripture says. I'm not going to ask you to turn to every one that I'm going to share with you, but let's start in Proverbs chapter number 6, okay? In Proverbs 6, and so you turn there, and I'm going to ask you to turn quickly because I'm going to preach quickly, all right? Because I have some things I want to get said today. In Proverbs chapter 6, many of you know where I'm going. The scripture says that God hates some things. And of the seven things that the scripture says here in Proverbs that God hates that are an abomination to him, two of them deal with this matter of lying lips and bearing false witness. And I think that's very telling. I think it's very telling that God said, listen, there's look in chapter number, Proverbs 6, look in verse number 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Now, brethren, that's strong language. That the God of heaven, the God of all truth, the God that is love, he is the personification of love. 1 John 4:8, God is love, yet he hates some stuff. And here's six in particular things that God said, I want you to know. Yea, seven are abomination to him in verse number 16. And verse number 17 says this, a proud look. Here it is, a lying tongue. God says, I hate it. Now, if there's no other reason that I as a born-again child of God, a son of God, that you as a Christian should put away lying, should not speak lies, that should not bear false witnesses because God hates it. He said, I hate a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. Verse number 18, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Here it is, verse 19, a false witness. Neither shalt thou bear false witness. Brethren, God hates it. We're living in a country, and I brought a lot of statistics. I'm not going to share them. I don't think there's a need to this morning. We live in a country that is drowning in information, drowning in things that people are giving to us as far as information. There's more information. Someone said, and I don't know that it's so, someone said that you could get more information than reading a newspaper in a major city One day of news that you could gather in a larger newspaper, and you would gather more information as far as by the amount of information that people that lived in the 14th, 15th century could gain in months, maybe years. This is the information age. We're drowning in information, but what of it is it truth? Information is not, listen, I want to know the truth. It's the truth that'll set you free. It's the truth. We need the truth. God hates a lying tongue. God hates bearing false witness. Look, if you would, over in chapter 12 of Proverbs. Chapter 12 of Proverbs. The scripture says this in verse number 22. Proverbs 12, verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Lying lips. Do you lie? Do you slander people? Do you gossip? Do you talebear? Are you a whisperer? A backbiter? Am I? Do we, through insinuation, sin a false witness? Let me show you what I'm talking about. Are you still, go back to chapter 6. This thing is so serious that God said this about it. And I want you to notice this. Look at verse 12 of chapter 6. Proverbs 6, verse 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a forward mouth. Now watch this. It's not just what they say, it's how they use their body. Maybe they roll their eyes. Maybe their body language insinuates certain things about others that's not right. Look at verse 13. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Forwardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Just by the way he carries himself, he's insinuating things. Maybe it's a little sly remark after a suggestive statement or a winking of the eye. That's how serious God takes this, brethren. And if we're not careful, as Christians, we can find ourselves deceived of the devil, thinking it's okay. Now, God has spoke to my heart about this matter, and I'm going to speak to your heart. I want this to go through your ears right down into your heart. God is serious about this. And I don't want you to think about someone else this morning as I complete this message today. I want us to think about us. You think about you. See, the devil's going to try to get you. This is the devil's tactic. Well, I know somebody that lies. Yeah, God does too. He knows everyone that lies. As a matter of fact, if you'll look in Psalm 58, turn there just for a moment, the Bible says that we're all liars. We come out of the womb that way. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 58. In Psalm 58, the psalmist said this in Psalm 58 in verse number, we'll look at verse 3. Psalm 58 verse 3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. You know, I remember a lot of firsts in my life, but I don't remember the first lie I told. I've told so many. You say, now, preacher, you shouldn't say that. Well, I'm almost 63 years old. How many lies have you told? Say, I can't count them. Now, don't you dare say I hadn't told one. Because then you're going to try to make God a liar. But sometimes that's how brazen and that's how bold we are. To defend ourselves, we'll try to even make not only others liars, we'll try to make God a liar when we're the liar. See, this is something of epidemic proportions. And it shouldn't be named among us, but yet it seems to be growing more and more and more to where we place slander and whispering and gossiping, lying, bearing false witness, not just with our lips, but with our lives, saying one thing and doing another, professing one thing and doing another. It's lying. It's bearing false witness. And God said, I hate it. And he said, I don't want it to be named among you. He said, quit your lying. I don't mean to be all negative here, but I'm just telling you what God said. And we're tempted to exaggerate things. Yeah. To add to things, to take from things. And so let me get into the meat of what I feel God would have me to bring. A lie is a statement of untruth with the intention to deceive. I'm going to say that again. Webster's 1828 says, a lie is a statement of untruth with the intention to deceive. We're going to define lying. I want to talk to you about the origin. Turn to John chapter 8. Now, I quoted this earlier. John chapter 8, turn there. You know this passage in John chapter number 8. The Bible says in John chapter 8, Jesus speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, he said in John chapter 8, we'll begin our reading in verse number 44. John 8, verse 44. The origin of lying is the old slew foot. It's the old devil. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. They originated with him. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. I don't want to do that. I don't want to lie. I don't want to do like the devil. He's not my father anymore. I want to do like my father in heaven. I believe you do too. So we've got to watch our mouths. Amen. Got to watch our mouths. Got to watch what you say. Got to think before you speak. And then he said this in verse number 44. He said, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it, brethren. The devil is a liar. I don't want to be like him. You don't want to be like him. I don't want to be in any way connected to him. God saved me out of that. God saved you out of that. We don't want to be part of what he's doing. We don't want to be part of his agenda. I want to speak the truth in love. I want to speak things that are so, not things that are not so. I want to speak things that are correct, not things that are not correct. And so the origin of lying is from the devil. And we are probably more like him when we're speaking the lie than any other thing. He's a liar from the beginning. He showed up in the Garden of Eden and told a lie. He told a lie in the Garden of Eden. He said, you know what? You will not die. Did they die? Yes, they died, Adam and Eve. Why? Because the devil is a liar. He lied to them. He lied to them about God. He said, well, God doth know that in the day that thou eatest thereof, you'll be like gods. He's holding out on you. The devil will lie to you about God, about you, about others. He's a liar. He lied. Listen, he not only lied to man about God, he lied to God about man. He said in Job, Job doesn't serve you. For naught. You've been good to Job. You've blessed him. Look at all you've done for him. No wonder Job fears you. Right? He said, boy, you take away from Job, you take away from him, and he'll curse you to your face. Hey, that's a lie. Because after the devil got through with Job, the Bible says, yet with his lips he did not sin. See, the devil will lie to you. But can I tell you to go a little step further than that? The devil put it into your heart to lie. I remember a couple in Acts chapter 5 by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. And you know what they done. They tried to put out something that they were not. They tried to live and be something they were not. They wanted to live a lie, and so they told a lie, and they said, they told a lie about the property, about their belongings. And Peter said, why has Satan, watch this now, in Acts chapter 5, verse 3, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, brethren? See, that's the work of the devil. The origin of lies is from the devil. Now watch this, the operation of lying. Turn to 1 John just a moment. 1 John, I think, is probably one of the greatest expositions about lying in the New Testament. In 1 John chapter 1, There's a process here, and I don't want you to miss this, okay? I don't want you to miss this progression, because this is the way the devil will deceive us, and he will guide us. Don't miss this. In 1 John chapter 1, look at verse number 6, the Bible says this. I'm in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In other words, we're lying to other people. Now listen to me carefully. I want you to follow what John is telling us here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You can say, oh, everything's all right between me and God. You can tell people things are right, but if your actions show differently in your fellowship and with the unfruitful works of darkness, John said, you're lying to people. Look at what he said now in verse number 6. He said, if we say that we have fellowship with him, if we say what to others? If you tell other people, everything's all right between me and God. I'm in fellowship with God. But yet, if your walk doesn't back up your talk, he said, you're lying to other people. And that's the way it starts. That's lying to other people. Don't miss this now. If you have to, if you're sleepy, get somebody to pinch you. You say, well, I'm sleeping. Nobody close to me will pinch me. Where are you at? Raise your hand. I'll come and pinch you. The devil will put you to sleep because he don't want you to hear about him. I'm telling on the devil this morning. Now listen to me. He's a liar. He's a liar. And he'll lie to you. He'll lie about you. He lied about Jesus his whole ministry. You follow the way that he lied to the Pharisees, and he had them believing. He had them accusing. He had them slandering Jesus, our Lord. And he'll slander you too. He'll lie about you too. He'll lie to you. He'll put it in your heart to lie. And he'll have you lying to other people about stuff. Because pride, instead of telling people the truth and saying, you know, I'm not where I need to be, you'll lie and say, oh, I'm doing okay. You know, I've noticed you've fallen off a little bit there, brother. Is everything all right? Oh, yeah, things are fine. Hey, be careful. Don't lie to people about things like that. Now look, if you would, in verse number 8. When you get comfortable with lying to other people, you'll lie to yourself. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We'll lie to ourselves. Can I tell you that I went through, and I'm not going to read them all off, but I went through the scripture, and I just want to read some to you here. The scripture says this. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. In other words, don't deceive yourself now. Don't deceive yourself. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Don't deceive yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Don't try to make yourself believe something's not so. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Don't lie to yourself now. Don't you be deceived. The understood subject in that sentence is you. You don't be deceived. Don't deceive yourself. See, once you become comfortable and okay with lying to others, you'll lie to yourself. Once you have other people believing your lies, you'll believe your lies. Listen to me this morning. This is a spiritual thing, and the devil is trying to get people to speak lies instead of the truth. Amen. And it can happen to me. Matter of fact, it has happened to me. And it can happen to you. Lies, bearing false witness, slander, tale-bearing, flattery. Read the book of Proverbs. Flattery. You know what flattery is, don't you? It's almost the opposite of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, people will say one thing to your face. They'll say good to your face and then talk about you like a dog behind your back. That's the way flattery is. Flattery will say something to your face and then, you know, won't say anything behind your back. They're just telling you that, trying to make you think something, trying to get you to believe something for their benefit. Yeah. Flattery. I love what one man said about flattery. He said it's about like some good cologne. He said it's good to smell, but don't drink it. Amen. Deceiving yourselves. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, don't you be deceived. And then this one, James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Now listen, deceiving your own selves. You're in 1 John, look again at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Now maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, now listen, maybe the devil's on your shoulder or in your ear, and he's saying, now listen, you know you're not that. You're okay. Don't deceive yourself now. Don't deceive yourself. If you have a situation, if you are an exaggerator, if you will tell an untruth in order to deceive or to get something the way you want it, if I fabricate, I mean just make up a lie to make someone look one way or me look some way, God is not pleased with that. Amen. And then when we become comfortable with lying to others, verse number 6 of 1 John, you still there? Then we become comfortable to lying to ourselves. Once others begin to believe our lies, we'll begin to believe our lies. We had a president we probably had a few, but and I don't mean this to be disrespectful, pathological liar, sociopath. He believed his own lies. Did you know there's hundreds and thousands of people that way? They believe their own lies. They are so deceived that they've told lies so long, they believe what they've said that's not so. Brethren, that's the work of the devil. You say, well, that's about as worse as it could get, isn't it, preacher? No. Look at verse number 10. Once we lie to others and they believe us, and we're comfortable with that, we'll lie to ourselves and we'll believe ourselves. But then in verse number 10, we'll lie to God. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. See, once John is saying this, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God is serious about this thing of lying. And he said, once you lie to other people and you see that you can get over, and by the way, a lot of times we think we can get over in that, people probably walk away saying that was a lie. I'm going to get to this here in a moment, but people's not going to take you serious if you're known for lying. Who's going to take you serious? Not me. Parents, the worst thing you can do is lie to your children. You want your children to take your word, and if you lie to them, you're going to lose their trust. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands, preacher to people, people to preacher. Listen, this lying is of the devil. And I could go into a lot of other things. I just don't want us to fall into. God doesn't want us to. God speaks out against bearing false witness. And so, what are we going to do? We're born with an Adamic nature. We have a sinful nature. We're bent toward telling untruth. We're bent toward exaggerating or fabricating. What can we do? Well, we certainly don't want to lie to others. We certainly don't want to lie to ourselves. And you don't want to lie to God. See, God will come to me and he'll say, you need to get that right. And one of the first responses, if I'm not careful, is to lie to God. I'm okay. And it's almost like you can hear God saying, well, I don't think I would have come to you and told you that you were not okay if you were okay. Right? Amen. God ever spoke to you about something and you said, I think I'm okay. And then you try to justify it. That's trying to make him a liar. Look again at what the scripture says in verse number 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. This thing of lying is serious. Now, as I said, there's a flip side. We've talked about the false witness. Don't bear false witness. I want to take just a moment and talk to you about the faithful witness. What can we do? Well, first of all, you've got to realize who you belong to. I don't belong to the devil anymore. I don't have to speak his lies. I don't have to put on. I am what I am by the grace of God. What you see is what you get. Now, there's part of all of us that want to project something that we're not, and we have to work against that. Okay? We have to work against that. And we just say, you know, I just want to be me. I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen? And so what we've got to realize is that none of us are perfect. Amen. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, we'll put so much pressure on people that we'll have people feeling that they have to live a certain way in order to measure up. Well, you don't have to measure up to your preacher. You're accountable to God. We're accountable to God. Now, I realize in some regard we're accountable to one another and we're a family, we're connected, and we ought to live a certain way, not to bring a negative light upon us as a group, as a body, as a church. But ultimately, we're going to stand before God and give an account. As a matter of fact, Matthew chapter 12 says that I'm going to give an account for every idle word that passes through my lips. You are too. Amen. And so we need to be really, really careful. We need to think before we speak. We need to realize, you know, what I could say here could really damage somebody and it could be irreparable. It could really hurt someone. Or it could really shed a negative light towards someone. And I have to really question my motive. Why would I want that? Why would I want a negative light shed on someone? Could it be because I don't like them and I don't want you to like them either? Maybe. We have to be careful with this. Lying, misrepresentation of truth, gossiping, just taking something and without going to the person and having a talk with them, just start, listen, tale-bearing and gossip and rumor, they're like first cousins, rumor mongers, can't wait to get something going. Well, I tell you, we independent Baptists, as well we should be, we're death on smoking, and you listen, we ought to be. And you mention smoking, and people start, amen, preacher, you mentioned drinking, amen, boy, people ought not drink that stuff. I'm against it, amen. Boy, you start talking about lying and bearing false witness and gossiping and whispering around. Read Romans chapter 1, verse 29 through 31. Paul said, cut it out. Amen. That stuff right there will tear a church up. It'll shed a negative light toward the cause of Christ. So what are we going to do, preacher? Well, I want to share just a few things with you in closing. We talked about defining lying. We talked about describing lying. I want to talk about defeating it. What can we do? Well, I read something that was very interesting. I hope I brought it with me. Let me see here. I read this by another man, and I said, you know, I like that. He said, the desperate need in America today for families is to know the truth, to believe the truth, to love the truth, to teach the truth, to speak the truth, and to share the truth. Brethren, we are people of the truth, and we need to be known as that. The truth. I want to give you three things, and I'll ask you to turn to these scriptures and we'll be done. Okay, the first thing, we are to love the truth. We are to love the truth. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 51, verse number 6. Now, while you're finding Psalm 51, I just have three things here, okay? Love the truth. Do you love the truth? Amen. Do you love it? Are you more interested in hearing good stuff, the truth, preaching, people telling the truth about matters? Or are you drawn toward negative and gossip, hot, juicy gossip? Yeah, have you heard? Oh, have I heard? And you just run and want to hear anything. Don't validate it. Just repeat it without any care. Listen, we need to be careful. We need to love the truth, not a lie. Did you know that the Bible says that when we get to heaven, the Bible says that he that loveth and maketh a lie, not going to make it in. Read Revelation 22. One of the last things that God said about liars is he, in Revelation 22, verse 15, that he that loveth and maketh a lie, going to be on the outside the gates, brethren. I'm telling you, this thing of lying is important. You say, well, if they're saved, they'll make it. Oh, I understand that. But if you're saved, you're not going to make a habit out of lying. And if you do, you're not where you need to be with God. There's no way you could be okay with lying and a lifestyle of lying and the truth live in you. Psalm 51, David, boy, he told a lie and lived a lie. But I'm going to tell you what God did. God did with him what he'll do with you and with me if we're really one of God's children. Are you in Psalm 51? Look, if you would, in Psalm 51, look at verse number 6. Behold, now in verse 5, he said, I was shapen in iniquity. I was conceived in sin. I'm a liar, all right? But he said, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. See, this is where it begins, in your heart. It begins in your heart. You've got to love the truth. I want the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Amen. So help me God. I mean that. I want the truth. Amen. I want to hear the truth. I want to speak the truth. I want to share the truth. I want to live the truth. I want to love the truth. I want to be a man of truth. And I believe you do too. Let us be men and women, boys and girls of truth. Truth. He said, thou desirest, look again at verse number 6, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the heart. Well, how's it going to get in there? These old hearts are deceitful, Jeremiah 17, and desperately wicked. How's the truth going to get in the inward parts? Well, you're saved, so the Spirit of God lives in you. And he is the Spirit of truth. Now get the Word of God in you. Amen. Get that Word in you. We put that challenge out, 10 chapters a day. How many are doing well on that? Uh-oh. Amen. Today, I think we should finish up John chapter 2, starting in Matthew 1. 10 chapters a day. You can read the whole New Testament through in 27 days. I'm telling you, say, well, I won't get a whole lot out of it. You'll get clean. Jesus said, John 15:3, you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Get that truth in you. It's not going to come out if it's not in there. Amen. Get the truth in you. Spend some time in God's word. Spend some time with the truth, Jesus himself. Fellowship with him. Amen. Commune with him. The Spirit of truth already lives in you. Yield to him. Got to love the truth. When you're tempted to lie, do you yield to you and the devil, or do you yield to the Spirit of God and tell the truth? Right, brethren? Love the truth. Number two, learn the truth. Learn the truth. You don't have to turn there. John 17:17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. Get in the word. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and we'll close there. Let's get in the word. Let's get in the word. Let's be a people of truth. Let's be a people of integrity, a people of honesty. Let's be a people that when we speak, people listen because they know we're speaking truth. And they can take it and they can react on it because we're speaking the truth and not bearing false witness. We're resembling and bearing the faithful witness, Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter number 4, live the truth. Live the truth. So the first thing, love the truth. I don't want you to respond to this, but in your heart, do you love the truth? Don't deceive yourself now. If you don't read the Word of God regularly and say you love the truth, there's a disconnect somewhere. I'm not being mean, not being judgmental. I'm just saying, don't deceive yourself. Do you love to hear preaching? Bible preaching? See, if you love the truth, you want to hear Bible preaching. If you love the truth, you want to read the Bible. Amen. But if you can, as one fellow told me and Pastor Dave one time, take it or leave it, something's disconnected. Something's not right. And I want to help you today. Don't lie to yourself. Be truthful with yourself so you can be truthful with God about the matter and get some help from the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4, this is what Paul said as we bring our message to a close today. How am I going to live the truth? Notice what Jesus said, or Paul said about Jesus in Ephesians 4. We'll begin our reading in verse 21. Are you there? Ephesians 4, verse 21. He said, verse number 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Brethren, do what Jesus said. Do what God's word says and you can live in truth. So I can do it without reading the word of God. No, you can't. No. Not like you could as if you were in the word of God. See, that's why the old liar, the old devil, wants to keep you out of the Word of God. He wants to keep me out of this book. So I already know what's in the Bible. I doubt it. I know that book from cover to cover. I don't think so. I know it forward and backward. I have my reservations about those kind of statements. Most people know anything about the Bible, know they know very little. And the more they know, the more they realize they need to know. Spend time in His Word. Spend time in fellowship with Him. Walk in the Spirit of truth. Yield to the Spirit of truth. Love the truth. Learn the truth. Live the truth. Let's stand to our feet. When I began to look at this ninth commandment, I was overwhelmed with all the scriptures that deal with speaking lies versus speaking the truth. And so, we're not to bear false witness, but it doesn't end there. We're to bear a faithful witness. Would it be true? In our words, in our deeds, in our actions, God help us to be true. Let's bow our heads together.